Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans, and we have a very special show today. I'm going to be talking with a regular guest on the show, Bill Koenig, about current events in Israel and the direct connection between American foreign policy on Israel and God's judgment on the United States. We're talking about anti-Semitism on college campuses, anti-Semitism worldwide, the war between Iran and Israel, world events that are happening right now, Russia, China. We're talking about all kinds of things, but kind of central related to Israel. And before I get into that interview, let me just say, Bill, Mark Hitchcock and I have a new book. We've written a series called What's Next. Our first book was on the Iran or the Israel-Gaza war. Many of you have gotten that. This one now releases this coming Friday, April 26th, on Amazon. It's called Artificial Intelligence and the Antichrist, AI and the Antichrist. What's next? We're talking about what's going on in the world currently and what's about to happen. What's going on in the world right now is artificial intelligence and the rise of the Antichrist spirit. And we believe the Antichrist is going to come very soon, that he'll step onto the world scene very soon. The rapture. We have another book coming out right after this on the rapture of the church. These are the things that we believe are coming next. And so this releases this coming Friday on Amazon. Be sure and get that, because this will bless you and help you and tell you what's going on right now in the world. And I'm very excited today to have Bill Koenig joining me. I've mentioned his book, Eye to Eye. This is his book. I've mentioned it many times. We're going to be talking about it today as we're talking about current events in Israel and what's going on around the world. Bill is a journalist, and he served as a White House correspondent. He has a news service called Koenig World Watch Daily. His website has constantly updated stories. We're going to be talking about his website and from some articles on his website today. And they draw from a large variety of news sources, and it can be found at watch.org. Bill has a great understanding of world events and how they align with Bible prophecy related to Israel. Bill, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Jimmy. Great to be with
it's
you.
It's good to have you back. You're always so resourceful related to everything going on in the world because you have such a great grasp on just geopolitical kind of things that are happening. Israel, obviously, you wrote your book, Eye to Eye, and I think when we met, you were kind of surprised that I was telling everybody about your book. I think it's one of the best books that's ever been written, because what it does is it documents the fact that whoever blesses Israel, God blesses. Whoever curses Israel, God curses, and especially when you start dividing up the land. So what do you see when Israel right now, because you're in Israel a lot, you're a very strong supporter of Israel, what do you see happening in Israel right now? I know it's a mess, but related to two-state solution, forcing them to divide the land, all that.
Well, Jimmy, I think framing it, how do we get to where we are today? On September 22nd, Benjamin Netanyahu was at the UN General Assembly, gave a powerful address, but unfortunately, he came up with his little map of the future Middle East, peace between Israel and the Arabs. This is Biden administration pressure on him to normalize relationship between Israel and the Saudis. And also that week, Crown Prince bin Salman was on U.S. TV talking about this new time of peace between Israel and the Saudis and the Middle East. And then 15 days later, what was an incredible excitement and potential about peace in the Middle East that Netanyahu was talking about went complete opposite direction with the heinous attacks of October 7th. So we went from great hope to a reality of a whole new Middle East that we're seeing right before our eyes.
Ezekiel 38, you know, is the Gog and Magog war. And it's interesting there that it says that when the Gog and Magog coalition invade Israel, it says Sheba, Dedan, Tarshish, and her young lions confront the Gog-Magog coalition. Well, Sheba and Dedan, that's the Arabian Peninsula. And this week, last week, when Iran bombed Israel, Jordan and Saudi Arabia were shooting down their missiles, shooting down their drones and stuff. It's interesting that the ancient scriptures tell us current geopolitics. And so Saudi Arabia, even though they're not, they have not entered into a normalization of relationships with Israel, they're not enemies. You know, Jordan, they're not enemies at this point. Iran, they're enemies, and they're vowed enemies of Israel. So the attack against Israel from Iran, October 7th, one of the remarkable things, Bill, is you would think that October 7th would turn people against Hamas, but it turned them against Israel. Why did that happen?
Well, it's the anti-Semitic root. We've talked about that, Jimmy. The anti-Semitism is deep. Former ambassador to the U.S., Ron Dermer, from Israel, told us a few years ago that the anti-Semitic root has gone, it went underground after the Holocaust, but it's resurfaced and it's going to get worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing right now, this anti-Semitism that's breaking out across America, that's breaking out around the world, is very, very problematic and a great concern for the state of Israel and Jewish people all over the world. And it's very difficult. In countries like France, which has 6 million Muslims and 600,000 Jews. Right. And we're seeing what's happening in the UK. And then also the United States with these Ivy League schools. That's who's getting a lot of attention right now. And it's very, very sad. I mean, the enemy is not Israel. Israel just wants to be left to be a productive part of the international community. But as we've seen in the UN, through the UN Security Council, there is this it's to the point that it's totally out of control, and it's getting worse now because Israel had to respond. They had to respond, and they have responded, Jimmy. And unfortunately, it's worked to their disadvantage.
Well, they needed what I expected, honestly, was a lot stronger response, but they had a very limited response because, from what I understand, I want you to speak into this. The Biden administration was making a deal with them that they would allow them to invade Rafah, have a military operation in Rafah, in the Gaza, if they would make a very limited strike in response to Iran. Do you believe that?
That's exactly right, and that's what we're hearing through back channels. They kind of let the Iranians know through their Turkish in-betweens. And that's what they told Turkey, just basically tell Iran not to overdo it. But according to our former CENTCOM leader, General Kenneth McKenzie, what was thrown at Israel...
It was massive.
Was massive.
Yeah.
So their plan with the cruise missiles, the ICBMs, and the attack drones was to do a significant amount of damage to Israel, but supernaturally, that did not happen.
Supernatural. That nothing. I heard about it when it was happening, and I just thought, you know, I'll wake up tomorrow and it's just going to be. And of course, Brian Schrager, we have a correspondent there, it was happening over his head.
That's right.
He lives in Jerusalem. And he just said he saw all these explosions, but nothing hit. It's supernatural. And you were mentioning before the show, they kind of spent a lot of their arsenal. That's part of the benefit.
That's what General McKenzie said. If they had to go to war tomorrow, they've thrown so many ICBMs and cruise missiles at Israel, they would be completely depleted and not be able to defend themselves.
And I also heard about half of them blew up on launch or didn't make their target. So that doesn't speak to their quality control.
No, absolutely. And I think also, as usual, the Lord had a plan. He had angelic protection.
That's right.
We've heard of miracles over the years of how God intervenes and intercedes. And I know there was a tremendous amount of people, my wife Tanya and myself and others, were praying on that Friday during Shabbat for angelic protection because, you know, everybody thought it'd be 24 to 48 hours. And we saw some incredible supernatural intervention by the God of Israel to protect his country and his people. And when you think about that again, Jimmy, I mean, there was one young lady, I think, was injured in one of the actual weapons that actually hit the ground. That was it. That was the extent of it.
It's amazing. Well, I heard Benjamin Netanyahu give a speech last year, and he said the history of Israel requires miracles. Isn't that amazing?
It does.
And they do. So the Iran hits. Now, Israel's response, now, again, this is my understanding, was not by the IDF. It was by Mossad in Iran. Is that true?
I've heard that. Still trying to determine whether that's not. Or it was a brilliant plan.
Yeah, brilliant plan. And well, they hit them. They just let them know we're right at your back door.
Absolutely. And what they did, they used F-35 jets. They nothing penetrated. No Israeli activity inside of Iran. They used missiles from our stealth jets to hit targets inside of Iran, knocked out their S-300 defense system. And this was the Isfahan area, right near the Natanz nuclear facilities.
Right.
So this was kind of a shot against the bow. We know where you are. We know this is what we can do. We did it with very little effort, and it was incredibly successful. So it was a message to Iran, and I think it the two things. One, having so many weapons knocked out of the sky, and number two, having a successful penetration of the missile defense system that Iran has, and then to hit Isfahan the way they did. In other words, we could have done much worse.
In other words, they shot so many drones, missiles, everything at Israel, none of them hit.
That's right.
We shot one of them, it hit.
That's right.
Or however many they shot, they all hit. So we penetrated their defense systems. So, Bill, this is intensifying. And when we had a tour scheduled to Israel last November, December, and in October 7th when that happened, 2 days later, American Airlines canceled our tickets in November, December. And I told someone, for an airline to cancel that far, they knew something. They knew something very serious. And so since then, it's just gotten worse and worse. It's still very intense today. So Israel is in this crucible. They're surrounded by enemies, literally fighting a seven-front war that's not going away. All of their enemies are still there. If they don't finish the war in Gaza, they will reconstitute. Hamas will reconstitute.
That's right.
And so, but they still have all their enemies. Iran is still very much vowed to their destruction. There is no such thing as a two-state solution. The Palestinians don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution. Is that
correct?
Right.
Exactly. And, right after October 7th, I mean, here we have President Biden telling the international community, now's the time to do the two-state because that'll neutralize Hamas and Hezbollah. It's absolutely totally absurd.
Absurd.
Totally absurd. But this is the mindset. And there's a greater desire right now for the two-state than ever because they want to stop all these problems. It's cost the EU and the United States a tremendous amount of aid. But it's not going to happen. And also the Biden administration right now is getting ready to get back after the normalization talks between Israel and the Saudis. This is part of their motivation. But at the same time, now they're sanctioning IDF troops, this one section, this Orthodox section of Israel. And the problem there, Jimmy, we know once we start sanctioning one battalion or one group of soldiers, it will be more and more, and this will empower the international community to do the same thing.
Yes.
And this does not bode well. And we saw the eye-to-eye pressure of March 25th at the UN, when the UN Security Council voted to call on Israel to cease fire, and the United States abstained. And within a few hours, we had a collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Now, you texted me that day. And so let me first of all say, Eye to Eye is a book where Bill documents, you're a journalist, and you document, this is not emotion, this is not, trying to make something out of nothing. You absolutely document that every time that the United States has tried to divide Israel, our foreign policy has been anti-Israel, whatever, there's been some kind of a natural disaster. A historic natural disaster or something. So go back to March 27th.
Yeah, it's in the same day or within 24 hours. So you have the event, Jimmy, and then the catastrophe.
Right.
And the greater the pressure, the greater the corresponding event. And the UN Security Council, there's five permanent members, 15 other members. Five permanent members have to completely, unanimously agree or have no vetoes in order for a resolution to pass. So we have France, the UK, United States, China, and Russia that are on the UN Security Council. Four of the five voted to force Israel to stop or cease fire right around the time of Ramadan.
Right.
And the United States abstained. And about 1:30 in the morning, the day after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I mean, look at Francis Scott Key. He wrote our Star-Spangled Banner. You think of the significance of our national anthem.
Absolutely.
it's one of those events. And then we also, the Biden administration was talking about sanctioning and increasing sanctions. On April 5th, we had a 4.8 earthquake in the Northeast. It was 7 miles from White House Station, New Jersey, right at the time they were talking about sanctions on Israel. So I feel the intensity right now. I feel the just an abnormal, what you're sensing, Jimmy, you mentioned, is just a very unusual time of disruption, atmospheric and spiritual disruption.
Absolutely.
With the target Israel.
It seems like October 7th, and we talk about anti-Semitism, it's not an ideology. No one can really articulate the ideology behind anti-Semitism. It's a spirit. And it's like on October 7th, there was just like the gates of hell were opened. And this, you see school children, the college campuses, and what's happening. I was watching the news last night because they were arresting a bunch of people, and there were college demonstrations all over America, not pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel. And so I saw an article yesterday, I think it was the New York Times, and this Jewish woman said, "My family and I are moving back to Israel. We don't feel safe here any longer." And America has been the safe haven for the Jews, except for Israel. And now Jews are having to move back. So this is watch.org. This is Bill's website. Great website. I look at it every day. And let's talk about some of the headlines. And so U.S. report accuses Israel of causing severe human rights crisis in Gaza. You believe that?
Well, Hamas is the reason for that.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, it's Isaiah 5:20, we call evil good, good evil. And this is the momentum of this building. It's going to International Criminal Court. We're going to be in The Hague on July 4th and 5th defending the state of Israel biblically and also legally. And this is, but you know, this is building, and it's going to get worse and worse. I mean, there is a feeding frenzy taking place right now in the international community having to do with the state of Israel. And this anti-Semitic root is growing exponentially around the world.
And what I hate, the International Criminal Court, which is it's an illegitimate court, because it violates sovereignty across the board.
Absolutely.
And so South Africa sued Israel for apartheid or whatever they were suing them for. And Israel showed up at the International Criminal Court defending themselves. I wish they wouldn't have done that, because they're giving them legitimacy. Because then when they make a judgment, you know, so-called, it would be binding. There's another headline. It says, Russia warns the world is on the brink of a direct military clash between nuclear powers. And of course, you know, Putin, Russia's economy is smaller than the state of Texas. And so they really, in an economic sense, they're a regional power. However, they have, I think, over 5,000 Soviet-era nuclear weapons, which makes them, you know, a force to be reckoned with. Do you believe that we're going to be facing some kind of a World War III scenario?
Well, the concern is for a couple things. Iran and Russia are closer together than ever before, and they're trading technologies. These Iranian drones are being used quite effectively in the Ukraine. Matter of fact, it was the same scenario that they were going to put on Israel that they've had success with in the Ukraine. The scenario of the drones, the missiles, rockets, and it's worked very effectively in the Ukraine. It didn't work in Israel for supernatural reasons and very good defense. This relationship with Russia and Iran is improving to the point that they are watching things very closely in Syria and Lebanon. And they, with our Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38-39 focus, we're waiting and watching what Russia is going to do in the Ukraine. Putin said even today that this $60 billion amount of money the United States is going to give to the Ukraine is going to very likely accelerate Russian activity in the Ukraine, number one. And number two, I think they're getting closer and closer to Iran. And we've seen what Erdogan's doing right now also.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, he's one of the great threats that we're watching very closely. Have for a while. He kind of went quiet for a while.
Yeah.
But having the leader of Hamas in a meeting the other day with a photo op, said a lot. And they're talking about another flotilla, which created a lot of problems 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago when they did that. So we have Putin and the nuclear threat, and they use that fairly often. Former President Medvedev talks about Russia's nuclear capability. So very problematic, Jimmy. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I can tell you one thing. The Ukrainian war has brought Russia and Iran closer together than ever before.
Yeah.
And Russia also has a very significant position inside of Syria. We've even heard rumors they're conceptually or have moved troops to the Israelis' northern border, southern border of Syria.
Now, I've heard that. Of course, you know, right now you have Turkey, Russia, Iran, they're in Syria, you know. The Gog and Magog war is Russia, Iran, Turkey, and some northern African nations. And so they're all aligned. They all hate Israel. And especially you see Russia, Iran, and Turkey. The Gog and Magog war is unfolding. And now there is, in Ezekiel 38, it says that God is going to put a hook in the jaw of Gog and Magog and pull them down. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm going to provoke you. You're not going to make this decision. I'm going to make it for you. Now, when Israel responded to Iran's attack, very limited, very you know, surgical, but Elam, there's a prophecy in Jeremiah 49 that talks about a judgment against Elam. And Elam is southern Iran. And that's where they have many of their nuclear installations. Yeah. And so, and I was wondering this week if they would strike, you know, southern Elam. Well, it would be a massive strike. But the interesting thing about Jeremiah 49, it says, in the height of your power, I'm going to knock the bow out of your hand, and I'm going to judge your princes, not the people. Because the people of Iran are great. And they're the biggest revival in the world is happening in Iran. Yeah. And so, but he says, I'm going to knock the bow, your launchers, out of your hand, and I'm going to judge your princes. So that's going to happen one of these days, and I don't know the exact timing on everything, but it's just all happening.
Absolutely. I remember when we first talked right after October 7th, and we discussed, is this the time? I said, well, Iran's very patient, they're very strategic, and they have a plan.
That's
and
right.
They're going to, you know, when we talk about Soleimani, was taken out in January 2020. It wasn't 2020. It was 2000. Yeah, in that area of time. No, I'm sorry. It was January 6, 2020. The Trump administration took out Soleimani.
Right.
They took out al-Baghdadi. They took out the biggest threats to Israel at that time. And but they didn't do anything. Iran didn't do anything. They've had nuclear scientists taken out. They've had all kinds of things happen within their country. They've seen one shipment after another taken out in Syria, in Lebanon, but done nothing. But what's interesting, Jimmy, this time when Israel strategically hit the Iranian consulate right next to the embassy in Damascus, that was a trigger. And Iran had to do something. And even to the extent that they did something so significant and it failed, had to set things back. But nonetheless, we're watching Putin, Erdogan, and Khomeini make their moves right now. So we're watching them very closely to see the timing of these.
I've been preaching on prophecy for 42 years. And back in the 80s, when I started preaching on prophecy, you know, I would say these things like Gog and Magog is going to happen. Well, Turkey was friends with Israel. You know, and they were doing military maneuvers with them and all that kind of stuff, you know, 15 years ago. And all of a sudden, in the last really 10 years, especially 5 years, you see everything coming together. But what's happened today, Bill, since October 7th, there's always been anti-Semitism, but we had the Abraham Accords, things were cooling off, we recognized Jerusalem as being, you know, the capital of Israel, all those things. But since October 7th, and what I say is, we're not going back. The genie's not going back in the bottle. This is escalating toward what the Bible said would happen. Now, let me go back to anti-Semitism for just a minute. College campuses, my friends on about October 9th were in London, and they landed at the London airport. And from the airport to their hotel was one pro-Palestinian demonstration after the other one, not one pro-Israel in London. Of course, London is, you know, very Muslim. There was a, so, I mean, they had all kinds of problems there. But the Bible says that in the end, that Israel will be surrounded by their enemies. And Zechariah 12 is one of the scriptures you have on your website.
That's right.
And so what do you see happening right now that is escalating towards Zechariah 12?
The fact that Iran had so little success with their barrage of weapons, I think it set them back a little bit. I think that just really completely shocked them.
Right.
That they could throw that much at Israel and nothing hit.
Right.
And then for Israel, a week later, to strategically take out their S-300 missile defense system and hit that area around Isfahan, the base there, right near their nukes, they're going, oh my gosh, we're not as close to being ready as we thought.
Yeah.
Because what would have probably happened right after that, they might have set Hezbollah loose with their 150,000 rockets and the 15,000 missiles that are deployed in Iran, Yemen, and Iraq.
Right.
So I think they're kind of regrouping right now. But we know in history, Israel's success is when they're preemptive. They've got to hit first.
Right.
And they've done it quite well in the past. The question today is, where is the red line? Where is Israel's red line? You mentioned the Saudis and Jordan. Probably the only good deal from the Iran nuke deal is the level of cooperation between Israel and the Saudis, right, the Emirates, and Jordan is greater today than ever before because they understand Israel's not their problem.
Right.
It's the Shiites from Iran.
That's right.
And some intel people will say, no, Israel's not the first to be nuked. It's Saudi Arabia. And there's people in high positions in Saudi Arabia that believe that. So I was at the government press office a few years ago, and one of my contacts there said, who would have ever thought that we would have the relationship that we do today with the Saudis,
right,
with Bahrain, with the Emirates, with Jordan that we do, and even Egypt, because they don't trust Iran.
You know, I hope you enjoyed the show today, and I hope you are a subscriber. First of all, on YouTube, subscribe to our channel here. Just hit the subscribe button. But also become a subscriber on endtimes.com, $7 a month or $77 a year. It is a great value because we have podcasts that come out all week long, articles, breaking news, all kinds of things to keep you encouraged. Every Sunday I do a devotional that's called A Good Word. It's just a positive word to start the week out. And of course, tomorrow Mark Hitchcock has his podcast, Marking the End Times. We have Brian Schrager from Israel on Tuesdays giving updates there and many other articles, breaking news. endtimes.com. Thank you for becoming or for being a subscriber. If you're not a subscriber, go to endtimes.com and become a subscriber. We have our conference coming up. We have all of our resources there on endtimes.com. So we'll see you again next time. God bless you.